Hello and welcome to the Dune Minute Podcast, your place to deep dive minute by minute into the cinematic adaptation of Frank Herbert's World of Dune. I'm one of your hosts, John.
And I'm the heart mollusk inside your ornithopter.
No.
I'm Zach.
No, I'm sad.
I'm Zach. And this minute that we're about to talk about begins with Jessica and Paul bickering, and it ends with those lovely ornithopters flying over some ridges and outcroppings.
Yes. Shout out to the sad little heart mollusks.
I will not spend any more time talking about that.
Yeah, but now I'm going to think about it every time I see an ornithopter.
Yeah, well, just know they're doing good. They're doing good work in there.
They're doing their jobs.
So our minute picks up with the continuation of Jessica and Paul's conversation, where Jessica is saying, these people have waited centuries for the Lisan al-Ghaib. They see you, they see the signs.
They see what they've been told to see.
Yeah, and Paul snaps back.
Paul is fucking throwing shade at his mom and the Bene Gesserit.
Yep. I love these two lines a lot. Like this short little conversation. Mm-hmm. To me, this is probably, at least so far in the movie, this is the two lines of dialogue that really explain what I believe Frank Herbert meant when he was writing Dune. These are such a distilled, I couldn't find them in the books. I looked for these lines in the books. I couldn't find it. This is such a distilled synopsis of the theme of Dune.
Of just Dune in general.
Yeah. And maybe it gets a little bit far away from it in the later books, but at least this first and second books, this is such a good distillation of the themes that I took from the book.
Yeah.
It is, these people have waited so long for a Messiah. They see you, they see the signs. And then Paul goes, they see what they want, or they see what they've been told to see.
Yeah.
The whole story of Dune is really a message against Messiah figures or messianic figures. Mm-hmm. And these two lines of dialogue just really spell that out in certain words.
Yeah. And in this moment, like Jessica, at least from what we see in the movie here, seems to recognize that she's never going to get through to Paul on this one, because she just kind of like looks down in defeat.
Yeah.
And looks away from Paul.
Yeah.
We then cut to a shot.
Oh. I had a little bit more to say about this one.
By all means.
So from just these couple of lines, we know, and what we talked about yesterday, the Bene Gesserit have been manipulating the Fremen for a long, long time.
Yeah.
So much so that they have become, I mean, really fanatical about the Lisan al-Ghaib coming, like their Messiah returning to them. So they are seeing these prophecies being fulfilled. And while we don't, at least right now, we don't know exactly what those, you know, quote unquote prophecies are. I think it's safe to say that they are vague enough to where they can be fulfilled by tons of stuff. You know,
there's a dude walking down the street and he has a white bag instead of a red bag.
Yeah, it's stuff like that, or maybe not that specific, but you know, who knows? They're vague enough to where they can be fulfilled or like twisted or manipulated into whatever they want to be.
It reminds me a lot of like the whole, like you have the quote unquote like medium that's talking to a group of people, and it's someone around here, their grandfather, they had a grandparent die recently, and someone in the audience inevitably is like, my grandfather died a month ago or whatever.
Yeah, it's like a good cold read of people.
Yeah. It's very,
and we kind of saw, didn't we see, scratch that.
What?
I was going to say, didn't we see either Moheim or Jessica or someone do like cold reads of someone earlier?
I think Moheim was cold reading Paul after the box. Yeah, tell me about your dreams. Do your dreams always happen?
Or do things happen in your dreams the way you think they are?
Whatever weird English like phrasing that she asked, but basically when she's like, yeah, like your dreams come true is ultimately like, and then Paul's like, kinda.
Well, that may have been days away from our listeners. That was weeks and weeks away from us. So I've forgotten.
Yeah, it's been a minute.
Yeah, and then we see Thufir touch the back of his ear.
Yeah, if you're listening with either like a really good home stereo system, or if you're watching the movie with headphones on, you can almost hear like a little static crackle effect, like a radio. So we know that this button for sure is a radio communicator. But I also maintain my original belief that it also is connected into an individual's vitals. I don't think
we ever get confirmation of that, but it's good headcanon nonetheless. But he touches his ear and he confirms with someone on the other end and then says, "We're good to go." And that is the last bit of dialogue for this minute.
Yep. And we see the ornithopter wings start to vibrate more and more aggressively as our poor little mollusks are just being shocked into.
And then the ornithopters lift off. And they retract their gear and they start flying. They're doing their jobs. We get some sweeping shots of the desert and the mountains as the ornithopters fly through. We get some really cool like flying in formation shots with them. Yep. I will maintain that these things look badass.
Yeah.
Regardless of what's inside them, they look awesome.
Regardless of the mechanics of the wings, they are moving so fast that like they just look like they're just walls of these wings and stuff.
I love the sound. I love the sounds of the ornithopters, the wings flapping. It's just that real deep.
But then we do get a cut scene from inside the cabin, and it's surprisingly quiet in there.
Sure.
It's like you would think that like something that is vibrating that aggressively would like cause a lot of like shaking sounds and everything in the cabin, but nope, it's just nice and
well. I think a couple tens of thousands of years of soundproofing technology,
sure,
plus the fact that it's not an internal combustion engine,
that is true,
would deaden the sound a little bit and probably make it a very comfortable ride, especially with a skilled pilot.
Yep.
As the minute comes to a close, we see the ornithopters fly over this ridge. And we do get to see a little bit, again, the sense of scale. They try to give you as much of a sense of scale as possible in the films. And we see some people. It's a real blink and you miss it kind of thing.
Yep. A group of like four or five people walking on this ridge here.
Yep. And they are tiny.
Yes.
Tiny, tiny, tiny compared to the size of this mountain that they're on.
Compared to the ornithopter.
Compared to the ornithopter, sure, yeah. Just, again, always trying to slip in that sense of scale.
I believe all of these scenes with, like, the mountains and stuff that we see in the desert were all ones that were shot in Jordan.
I think you're right, yeah.
Yeah, because there were two different on-location shooting areas. The larger deserts as a whole, I believe, were Saudi Arabia. The mountainous regions of deserts were shot in Jordan. I could be wrong and probably am wrong on
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know the locations like that well.
But I know that they did a lot of shooting in Jordan.
I have to imagine that some of these mountains, if not all of them, are probably computer generated.
Some of them, yeah.
I hope not. I mean, I hope they stuck to some practical.
Well, what we see of Arakeen is definitely.
Oh, yes, yeah. Because that city doesn't exist.
Well, I mean, it could have. No. Speaking of Arakeen, we do see it for a brief moment right before the
minute ends. Ever so slightly in the background.
It is not a small city.
No, it's very big.
It's huge.
Very big.
we also see a couple like larger stones out in the fields, the sand fields in front of the city, but
yep.
we don't know what those are quite yet.
Not we'll find out just eventually. Yet. Not just yet. And I have a sneaking suspicion I'm going to have a bone to pick with those.
Well, I guess you'll have to come back tomorrow to hear Zach's opinions on things that may or may not be correct.
Yes. Well, I look forward. I guess this will be tomorrow's minute. I look forward to getting angry emails about how much I'm wrong about this.
Angry emails on a weekend.
All right, cool. Anything else on this one?
Nope. It's a pretty short minute. I mean, we do get
like the rest of them.
Okay. God damn it. But we do get Paul kind of clapping back at his mom and yeah. the Bene Gesserit. Yep. Not that that sets up a entire point of contention across two movies in the future, but you know, we'll talk about that as it becomes more and more relevant.
That's right. That's right.
If you want to get mad at us for any of our opinions, whether they're good, bad, you know,
but please don't. We're wrong fragile. Or
yeah,
please don't.
you can email us duneminute@gmail.com. You can find us on Twitter @DuneMinute or on Instagram @TheDuneMinute.
And please keep in mind that we do not have a heart mollusk inside of us. We have just a normal heart, and it does get bruised. So yeah. please be gentle.
Don't be too mad at us.
All right. Well, we will see y'all tomorrow as we talk about minutes 39 through 40, and we round off the week. Flying up upon the city of Arakeen. See you then.
See you.